Heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, very glad to be with you again as we're winding up the month of July. Can you believe it? With the feasts of St. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus this Saturday, followed by the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Well, the parables continue for the third week in a row in our reading from Matthew's Gospel this Sunday. This time, Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to a treasure buried in a field, and again to a pearl of great price. Now, the meaning of these two parables is the same. For anyone who understands the supreme value of the kingdom, giving up things to obtain it is less of a constraint and more of a joy. Now, initially, as I again read these familiar words, I was moved toward my usual thoughts. Well, yes, I see the value of the kingdom. I have entered into a relationship with Jesus through the sacraments and prayer. I have sacrificed to live my life as a Christian. I try to put the Lord first in my life. But then I paused and took the daring step of being honest with myself. Now, while all I said is true, do I ever complain about having to give up certain practices or pleasures for the sake of the kingdom? Yes. Am I ever impatient or short with others because of my poor attitude towards sacrificing my time for their benefit? Yes. Are there any practices that I yet retain that are purely self-seeking and not for love of God or others? Yes. In short, do I have room to grow in internalizing and putting into practice these two parables? Yes, yes, and yes. Though intellectually I am able to grasp the truth of the kingdom being of primary importance and value, my will has not yet been wholly shaped in accordance with this truth. I have yet to sufficiently live it out, and as Jesus himself said, blessed are those who hear the word and observe it. But in terms of hope and motivation, I do believe this to be true, that the more I strive to live in accordance with the primary importance of the kingdom, the more I will be able to see and appreciate the inestimable value of this rich treasure, this shimmering pearl. And subsequently, the more my actions in pursuit of this great treasure will become actions motivated by and filled with joy, not misgivings. And the more my actions are motivated by and filled with joy, the more others might just see the Lord alive and at work in me and through me, and he, please God, might thus make me, and all of us, great fishers of men. First up on the show today, our Chief Shepherd, Archbishop Hebda, joins us for his monthly segment. This month, he's talking about the ins and outs of discernment. Next, building a strong, lifelong marriage is not easy. But there are certainly ways of building habits and practices that will help a marriage last and grow. Dr. Kate Walsh-Souchere joins us with some tips. And as NFP Awareness Week winds up, we're getting in the game and helping raise awareness about natural family planning. We'll hear all about it from Twin Cities fertility care practitioner Alice Schwantes. That's what's coming up on the program today. Thank you for joining us. Let's, as always, here pause at the top of the program and offer the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey listeners, it's Practicing Catholic producer Kayla Mayer, and today we're talking discernment. It's a word we use a lot in the Catholic Church, don't we? If we use it a lot, then we know that it's important, but what does it mean? Today, we're getting some help from our shepherd, Archbishop Bernard Hebda, who joins me for his monthly conversation. Thank you so much for joining us, Archbishop. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Kayla. Nice to be with you.
Yes, we're so excited to have you on. So today we're talking about discernment and being intentional about our choices. Whether small or large decisions, they're good things. How would you define discernment?
Yes. I think discernment is asking that question, what is it that God wants for us in any given situation? So it's not just a question of what do I want? What does somebody else want? But really, what is it that God wants here? And how am I able to help that to take place? It really is a wonderful way of inviting the Holy Spirit into everything that we do and trusting that we have a God who loves us so much that he wants to be part of our smallest decisions, every aspect of our lives. You know, Pope Francis, when he's been asked what it is that he looks for in bishops, says he's looking for men of discernment. And I can tell you that when I have the opportunity to interview the men that are entering seminary or that are beginning the diaconate formation process, that's always one of the things that I'm really attentive to as well, is do I have a sense that these are men of discernment? I recently had the opportunity to consecrate one of the virgins living in the world in our archdiocese, and we have a beautiful number of young women who are living out that vocation. And it's the same thing with them. As I meet them, as I have that opportunity to listen to them, I want to see, are they individuals that really want what God wants, and are they committed to that work of discernment? And so I would say it's really asking what it is that God wants, not just what are my personal desires, or doing a pro and con list, you know, which is something that we certainly do in making decisions sometimes, but really asking that question, what it is that God wants, and trusting that there is something that God desires for us in every situation.
Yes, trusting. It's a beautiful thing, and it's much easier said than done. I think something that might be helpful maybe for our listeners is getting maybe an inside look of your discernment process. Does it depend on the decision? Is there a process you follow no matter what kind of decision you have to make? I mean, besides what to wear, that's a pretty easy discernment choice for you.
Basic black. Yes, exactly. Huh? No, I would say the discernment does change a little bit depending on the magnitude of the decision. And but just in general, as I begin each day, I always begin by asking the Lord to help me to be open to his will, and in a general way, in a generic way, and helping me to be sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and to be able to listen to others. So just in case the Holy Spirit is speaking through them. So it's that general availability or sense of availability to whatever it is that God wants. And then when there are particular questions in mind, I always will bring those to prayer as well. And I also treat them in two different ways. One is that, especially if it's a big decision, I always make sure I'm doing appropriate consultation of others who might be involved. And not just because I want to hear what they want to say, but also to see if the Holy Spirit might be speaking through them. And I'm always amazed how the Lord uses others to speak into my heart. And then really to make sure that I'm open as I'm praying on the scriptures for the day to what are the insights that God brings for my discernment process from his word. Huh? And boy, that's one of those amazing things is how often the matters that are most on my mind seem to be addressed by the gospel of the day or one of St. Paul's letters. And when we have those kinds of connections, I always praise God for really being so interested that he would speak to us through his word in that way. You know, so many people say they're not coincidences, they're God incidences. And I do think that God uses all of those different things to be able to help us to discern his will. And for decisions that are really major decisions as well, I also, once I kind of think I know what the Lord might be asking us to do, I kind of make that a working assumption And then in my prayer, I begin to say, Lord, I think this is what it is that you're asking me to do. If this isn't, if I'm on the wrong track, well, please let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to be going in this direction. And then I try to imagine what could transpire based on the decision that I make, and to see how it sits with me. Where do I feel disturbance? Where do I feel consolation? And really trying then to try on the decision in some ways, and knowing that every good decision always involves sacrifice as well. So it's not the easiest path, but it's the path that where the Lord seems to be shining His light on us. And we have to trust that when we're acting in that way, when we're truly open to doing God's will, whatever that might be, and putting aside our personal preferences, that the Lord's going to bless that. And so even if we're going in the wrong direction, boy, He's going to be able to steer us back to what it is that He's hoping that we would do, because we offer ourselves as His instruments in that way. So that's a little bit, Kayla, what I would be suggesting. I had a really blessed time for many, many years. I worked with postulants of the Missionaries of Charity of Mother Teresa's sisters. And so they were women who were discerning their vocation. They had already gone on a come and see. Then they would spend some months as a postulant, a year really. But in that time, we would always spend a couple of days, 2 days on discernment and really working with those sisters and helping them to really be able to discern God's will. I had great repercussions for me as well. So I think a greater sensitivity, you know, we learn how to discern from the very practice of discerning. You know, the word discernment that we use or that we find in the New Testament really comes even to describe the action that was undertaken by the money changers of all things. Huh? So if you have a good money changer, they're able just by feeling the coin, but it's based on experience to figure out what the metal is and whether it has value, whether it's fake. You know, we always see the cartoons where the somebody bites on the coin to see how it's going to react. But it's that idea that it's in the very process of discerning and doing it intentionally for a long period of time that we learn how to discern. And then we give God thanks for those times where we know we've discerned correctly, when we experience consolation or we see the fruits of the decisions that we made. And then there are also those times where we feel that discomfort or that desolation. And even in that process, we learn what that feels like and try to avoid that in the future. So mm-hmm. it's a great process, I think, for being able to put the Holy Spirit first in our lives, and then really to desire nothing more than to do God's will. You know, our patron, St. Paul, was so good at that. You know, he says whether he would be in hunger or satisfied, whether he would be hot or cold, and all of those things, he always was striving to do God's will, and we have to strive to do that as well.
Right. And you talked a little bit about how the Lord blesses our decisions, whatever the discernment process leads us to.
Yes.
And I think I'd like to talk a little bit more about anxiety about making the wrong decision.
Yes.
Especially in people my age who are coming out of college or just at this very pivotal point in their life where they're making these big decisions. I notice a lot of anxiety surrounding making decisions. And how can we embrace doubt and invite the Lord into our anxieties?
Yes. Well, that's a great question, Kayla. I think part of it is really remote preparation for that too. So I think my job as a bishop, or when I was a priest or a campus minister, one of the things we really have to help young people to do is to know how much God loves them. Huh? Mm-hmm. And to take away that fear that somehow or another, if they make a bad decision, that God isn't going to love them anymore. So if you have a person who already knows that God loves them, and that God has a plan for them, and God has a plan for all of us, huh? That it's then, I think, easier for us to make decisions, even when they're difficult decisions, and even when we're experiencing a little bit of anxiety. So I think really to focus on God's love, And then also to have that experience of times where when we've really asked the Lord for his help in making a good decision and we found it, but also those times where we've made bad decisions and how God still loves us and is able to bring good even out of bad decisions. Huh? So in my own life, for example, when I was a young adult and trying to discern, I was a lawyer and was trying to figure out if the Lord was asking me to be a priest. Huh? I ended up taking some steps thinking that I was doing what God was asking me to do. So I completed law school. I worked for a while as a lawyer. And then when I finally realized that God wanted me to be a priest, I was thinking that all of those other things had been missteps, right? So going to law school or working. And then in hindsight, I realized over all of these years as a priest that God had a plan even in those things. So even if they had been the wrong decision, that God used them in a way that shows me his love and that also serves the church. So I think when we have that sense that God can do good things no matter what the decision is that we make, if we're open to that and we're striving to do that, I think that really reduces the anxiety. I had a spiritual director who used to say, it sounds like more like a Hallmark card line than something from a spiritual direction, but he always says God can write straight with crooked lines. So even when we might be making some decisions that are wrong, at the same time, if we're doing it with the right intention and striving to do what God wants, God's able to use those things in a way that strengthens our relationship with him. But I think if we have that sense and being able to see how God has done that in our life, it really helps us then to make those major decisions, whether we be young or whether we be old.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting close to the end of our time, but I have one last question for you.
Okay.
How can we be sure that we are hearing God's voice in our discernment process?
Yes. So I said, first of all, is to always make that prayer, I think, every day. Lord, help us to hear you. Help us to really be able to discern what it is that you want. So that's our intention, and to not just be from our lips, but to be from our heart, right? So I think that's pretty significant for us. And then I think also especially when we're making major decisions, to strive as best we can to be really close to Jesus. So boy, when somebody needs to make a big decision, they're thinking about getting engaged, proposing, or make sure you stay close to Jesus in the Eucharist. Make that extra effort to be there for daily mass, for example, or to go for adoration, right? Stay close. Make sure that you're in a state of grace. And so in those times of discernment, the sacrament of reconciliation is so important, that anything that would keep us from hearing the Lord's voice or responding to it is sidelined, right? Is removed. So I think, and then to also look for those, look for assistance. Nobody can discern for us, huh? But to be able to speak with somebody that we know is Jesus-centered, and to explain a little bit what's before us and what it is that we're feeling in our hearts, boy, that can be really helpful as well. I don't get to hear confessions as often as I used to as the Archbishop here, but that's one of the things I've always enjoyed, even in the sacrament of reconciliation, is people sharing what are the decisions that are before them and seeking some assistance in that way. Obviously, it's not a full-blown spiritual direction, but just to be able to hear somebody else's reaction or to be able to have somebody point something out to us can be really helpful for us in the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like I could talk about this for hours, but unfortunately, we only get you for 15 minutes. So, Archbishop, may we have your blessing before you go?
Yes. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you, Kayla, and upon all of our listeners. May we all be open to the many ways in which the Holy Spirit prompts us. May we become masters of discernment, so that in all things we might do God's will. We ask all of these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining today, Archbishop.
Thank you, Kayla. It was a pleasure.
Please do remember to keep Archbishop Hebda, Bishop Williams, Bishop Eisen, and all our diocesan priests, consecrated and religious women and men, and seminarians in your prayers. Coming up next, has your marriage hit a rut? Is it time to add or change something so it can get growing? When we come back, Dr. Kate Walsh Souchere sits down with host Patrick Conley to offer some suggestions. We'll be right back.
There's just a new enthusiasm for the faith. It's almost like we're rediscovering the faith again. What Relevant Radio has helped us to recover is that sense of the sacred.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
I've never ceased to be surprised by the deep faith, the eagerness of people to want to come into relationship with the Lord and find that deeper meaning to their life, you know, to live their life in cause. I think we all want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, and Relevant Radio is really helping to lead people in that direction with so many wonderful teachings and so many wonderful stories of people's lives and conversions and so many ways in which we're helping people to discover the true meaning of life, and that's to live for God and for each other. And so it's amazing to see conversion happen right in our midst.
Our spiritual director today is Father Matthew Spencer.
The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Giving us some great advice on how to discern God's will and then how to move forward and seek to do God's will in our life.
And I think this is important, Patrick. Sometimes we imagine that God is putting difficult decisions on us and then watching over us as if he's maniacally waiting for us to trip up and make some bad decision and go astray, and just he's trying to see whether it's going to work out for us or not. And that it's not how he looks at us. He wants us to succeed, right? He wants us to persevere in his will. Even if we make a wrong decision, he will help us to get back on track. It's so important to act. And I think we, especially in our own times, have a problem with this, right? We have difficulties with analysis paralysis, where we look at something for so long, right? We're just paralyzed. We can't follow through with it.
Yeah, hang on. Let me overthink this.
It's The Inner Life with Patrick Conley, 11 a.m. Central Time on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Hey, raise your hand if you are married, were married, or want to be married. Okay, keep them up. Now, for those who remain hands down, raise your hand if you have close relatives or friends who are married, or if you want to encourage those who are married. Did I get everyone? If your hand is up, you'll love our next guest. Catholic author and speaker, licensed marriage and family therapist, as well as wife, mother, and grandmother, Dr. Kate Walsh Souchere is back with us to talk about practical ways to build stronger marriages. Dr. Walsh Souchere, welcome. Good to have you with us again.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be with you. Thank you.
Well, summertime, as you, I'm sure, know, is a rather crazy season for many couples and families. So I want to talk a little bit about habits here. What kind of bad habits should couples watch out for in the relationship and family life, especially when times are a bit crazy?
Sure. Do you know, I think that the number one issue that faces all of us right now, married, not married, families, not families, is we are simply too busy. We have so occupied our lives with busyness, and we're not even questioning that we're too busy. We just get on that treadmill and run. And then somebody else turns up the speed and we just keep running. And so instead of getting on that treadmill and not questioning it, stepping back and saying no to something and just saying yes to spending time together, quiet time, turn off the music, turn off the loud stuff, and just say yes to relationships and sit together. I have a concept that I've oftentimes spoken about when I speak to women's groups, and women totally get this, and that is that oftentimes our lives are like a plate of spaghetti that is dripping off the edge of the plate. The spaghetti sauce has dripped onto the floor. We're just heaping it back on. And then we're going to try to eat that. And it's messy. It's like, stop it. Stop it. There is a stop button to this. But it has to be us who says no to this busyness.
Well, aside from you making me hungry, I think I would say that sounds like good advice. And even though we might enjoy a messy plate of spaghetti, certainly we don't want our lives to look like that. That's definitely true. Now, you mentioned just being too busy and not taking the time to do that. So I guess I'm curious of that those so that forms this habit is formed. How do people get in the status to be too busy to begin with?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I chewed up Stephen Covey's book, First Things First. And his book, First Things First, maybe people don't even know this, that his book, which most of us know about, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People,
right?
He takes each habit and writes a separate book on each one and dives into it deeply. So I'm not an impulse buyer. I measure my money. I'm careful. I used to say to clients, the way we manage our money is the way we manage our lives. So I was not an impulse buyer, but I saw his third habit. Begin with the end in mind might be it. But in that book, he says, the enemy of the best is the good. He said, not everything is best. There are some things that are best, and then there are some things that are good. But we oftentimes move everything to the front of the stove. We've got to do all of it. And he says, the enemy of doing the very best is that I think it's good. And he says, no, go with the best. Decide, figure out what is best, and go with that. That's hard. And so we have to take some time to evaluate our lives. What are we saying yes to? So the habits, I used to say this when I was practicing. I'm no longer practicing. I'm emeritus, which means that I'm retired, but I get to still use that title, the LMFT title, as long as I put emeritus after it, I've been told. That so often we get into these habits and we're not even curious about the habit anymore because the habit starts to form us. And so it requires us to step back and really evaluate. Another word that Covey uses is urgent. He says, everything is not urgent. And yet we live like it is. So, he encourages us to think about urgency.
Right, right. And those are steps toward, especially when we're talking about marriages, we're talking about couples maintaining a sense of peace in their life. And I guess that's what I want to ask next is, maybe couples seeking out that peace, because when we get busy, we tend, I know at least in my own case, when my wife and I are overloaded, we're more susceptible to sniping at each other, you know, just being short with one another, not taking the time to enjoy and appreciate one another, but just, it's all about getting the next thing done. There's not really a lot of sense of peace there. So how might couples begin to find or regain some of that peace in their relationships?
Well, that's really, truly a very, very good question. Because those little snipes that we make or those little, I misread what you just said. So that is there too, saying something, but then also ascribing meaning to something that the person didn't mean. Those are sneaky. Those are sneaky, insidious little experiences that happen. And the more that we allow those to take root in our lives, hate to say it, the more that plant is going to grow. The plant of peace that we're trying and want, if we are not really intentional about that, we end up with a garden of weeds. And then that takes over and we can't even see the beauty. So it's really noticing what's happening in the relationship and trying to ascribe or assume, I don't like to use the word assume, but to assume goodwill on the part of the other person. There's an author that I liked a lot and his name was John Gottman, and people will recognize that name. He's got several books. One of them is called The Seven Principles for Making Marriage Work. That's just an excellent, excellent book.
Yeah.
He has something that's called, he coined a term, negative sentiment override. Negative sentiment override. So that no matter what my partner does, my spouse does, my brain goes to negativity. Oh, you meant that. Oh, you intended to hurt me. Oh, I know that was a dig. So no matter what the other person does, I've already concluded that there's some negative tone, some negative intention to that. And we just have to realize that that hurts us. And as a couple, and get that out of there, start. And if somebody says, well, I don't know how to do that, go seek some help, get some books, sit down, maybe go see, hopefully a Christian therapist, a Catholic therapist, if you can get in. Even doing it online is better than not doing it.
Yeah, very good. Our guest is Dr. Kate Walsh-Soucheray, and she's back with us as a licensed marriage and family therapist emeritus, and just and sharing with us some tips on finding peace in our marriage and building strong, and I don't know what's the word I want to use. It's strong, and it's also, it projects just another meaning, another layer of the meaning, maybe many layers of meaning in the marriage relationship as we focus on our relationship with our spouses. Dr. Soucheray, good teaching, good analogies thus far. I wanted to ask next, how can couples cultivate specifically a virtuous relationship and help each other on the path to sainthood? Because that, as I understood it when I became a Catholic and I knew now my role as a husband was to make sure that my wife makes it to heaven. So how can I help her live a virtuous life?
Okay, that's a great question. So first of all, you have to start with what are the virtues. You have to know what those are.
Right.
Okay, so there are four cardinal virtues, and then there are three theological virtues. And the four cardinal virtues are prudence, or thinking practically wise thoughts. That's what prudence is. Temperance. Another definition for temperance is self-control. And imagine when you're thinking about temperance, should I say that? Should I let that comment come out of my mouth or not? The next one is fortitude or courage. Do I have the courage to say the hard thing today? That I love my spouse so much, and try not in marriages to use the word but. That was something I tried to encourage my couples to do, is don't use the word but. I love you, but no, don't say that, because maybe everything you just said. And then the last of the four cardinal virtues is justice. And justice is doing the right and good thing. That's what justice is. And the three theological virtues are faith, hope, and love. And so if we can just try to think about those and just infuse those virtues into our life in very simple, practical ways, it's not major overhaul, but it's just simple little ways that maybe today I could focus on the word fortitude. I'm just going to try to be courageous today. And what that might mean is I'll try to do and say and think and be a courageous person. When I'm reluctant to, made full-on commitment as a woman over 30 years ago. Now, should I have done this? I'm not quite 70, but almost. Should I have known this my entire life? Yes. But you fall into bad habits. And over 30 years ago, I made the full-on commitment to never gossip ever about something, ever. And there was a lady who came to our house with another friend of mine. And I didn't know this lady who came. And we're sitting out in the backyard under a tree having a picnic with the kids. And this guest, this woman that I did not know, started to gossip about someone. And I said, whoa, I have to stop you right there. I said, I'm going to make a promise to you. I said, I won't gossip with you, and I'll never gossip about you. She stopped dead in her tracks and looked at me like, what? And that stopped the conversation from going anywhere. But I was not part of something that I didn't want to be part of, that I knew that I needed. Maybe I wasn't actively going to gossip with her, but if I didn't shut it down, then I was not being courageous. I was not doing the right thing. I was just participating in it by omission. Is that the right word? By not doing something.
By omission,
I was participating.
Yeah. Well, so, I That's courageous right there. You talk about virtue. That has a lot. It takes a lot of courage to step up and say something like that.
And do you know that the basis of virtue is knowing who we are? Mm-hmm. I have to come back to that person. That virtuous person. If anybody wanted to find some fantastic books on virtue, I would say look for Alexander Havard. Here's a book on, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Alexander Havard, Virtuous Leadership. No. Oh my goodness. From Temperament to Character. Oh my goodness. He says that our temperament is formed when we are born. I mean, when we're conceived. Life does not begin at birth. Life begins at conception. So when we are conceived, our temperament is inherited to us from history, our genetic tree. Our character helps us to temper our temperament. We work on character, and character is virtue forming. And then he has another book that I just love, Created for Greatness, and that's by Alexander Havard. He will teach us about being a virtuous person, and they're not hard books to read. He's very deep, but he makes it so readable and wonderful. And of course, they're all marked up. So I would not be able to loan my book to anybody. I mark up my books with three colors, black or blue, red and yellow. So I can always find the main.
Yeah, very good. I like that. Well, Dr. Walshusher, we're so grateful for the time that you've taken. Believe it or not, we've run out of time already in our conversation, and there's still lots more to talk about. But that's always the case when it comes to building strong marriages, that we should always be on the hunt for ways to live out our marriage relationships better. But we thank you. Yeah. We thank you for all the work that you've done in the past and for being with us today on Practicing Catholic. God bless you. Thank you for being on the program.
God bless you, too. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Learn more about Dr. Sutre's work and specifically on the work of the Institute for Family and Health and Well-Being at ifhwb.com. Up next on the show, are you aware of NFP? Whether married or single, old or young, man or woman, every practicing Catholic should know a bit about natural family planning. We've got you covered coming up next.
Obviously, it's a great privilege and a gift to our diocese and to all the good people here to have Relevant Radio just in terms of the ongoing evangelization, learning about the faith. There's so much good catechesis. I tune in, you know, anytime I'm on the road or just have a spare moment, and I'm always amazed at just the depth of knowledge, the wealth of experience, the many different opportunities in terms of the show, the programming, the people that call in. You know, sometimes you hear a kindred spirit on the radio, so you find yourself praying for that person. There's so much good that has come out of Relevant Radio. Any priest could attest to that, but I think it's a great boon to our faith to know Jesus on a more intimate level. It helps us to love him, to see and accept and receive his love, which is extraordinary, unconditional, infinite, and a mysterious gift to us. All of these things, of course, are a catalyst to helping us get back home to heaven one day, God willing.
This is Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Kayla Mayer, our producer, and Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to the Archdiocesan Studios at the Archdiocesan Catholic Center. Well, whether you realize it or not, we've just come through NFP Awareness Week. In my experience, those who are familiar with and utilize natural family planning are typically huge fans. And those who are unfamiliar with it often become intrigued just by hearing a little bit about it. Joining us now to nurture the fans and intrigue those unfamiliar with NFP is Alice Schwantes, a fertility care practitioner at Twin Cities Fertility Care Center. Alice, welcome to Practicing Catholic.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right, let's start out with NFP, natural family planning. First of all, is it just for married couples?
No. I learned NFP as a single woman. I have single clients, I have married clients, I have engaged clients. It can be used for anyone.
Okay, and what are some of the ways women and couples then use methods of natural family planning?
I can use them to avoid pregnancy, achieve pregnancy. We see women using the system during postpartum times, nearing menopause, but really it is a way to track your health as a woman and Creighton specifically does that really beautifully by pairing with what's called NAPRO technology.
Okay. Wow. Some fancy words here we're throwing around. Can you expand a little bit? I mean, different models? Is this different models of NFP? Or yeah, what does that mean?
So the basic principle of NFP deals with two things. Men are always fertile. We know that from the time that they hit puberty. And then women, in contrast, are usually infertile. They're really only fertile about 6 to 10 days out of a cycle. So from menstrual period to menstrual period is what we call a cycle. We use that basic principle and we look at what's going on, what signs and symptoms is her body giving to tell us when she's fertile and when she's not. And then to give you a definition of that fancy word I use, NAPRO technology, that stands for natural procreative technology. Okay. So it's a branch of the medical profession that has learned how to interpret these signs and symptoms in a woman's body.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Now, you mentioned that NFP can be used to avoid pregnancy. And of course, as Catholics, we believe and uphold that artificial contraception is not admissible or not permissible in the marriage relationship, but NFP actually is. But outline for us a little bit of the difference between artificial contraception and natural family planning.
So artificial contraception often has to do with artificial hormones, and those come with a whole host of symptoms, side effects, risks for women. So NFP doesn't have any of those hormonal risks. So a woman is at less risk of things like certain cancers, mental health disorders, leaky gut. There's a really long list, heart attack, stroke. And there's also research that says that couples who use NFP are at a lower risk of getting divorced.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because it fosters communication specifically around the sexual part of their relationship, do you think?
I think it does. I think it fosters communication within the whole relationship. But yes, they need to be on the same page when they're communicating, right? What is our intention? Do we know when we're fertile or when we're not? Do we know that we're both on the same page about whether or not we're using the system to try and achieve a pregnancy or space children or whatever their intention is? That intention should be talked about and shared within the couple.
Right. And just to be crystal clear about this, because some of our listeners might be encountering this for the first time and are interested, of course, in upholding, we hope, Catholic teaching on this. While the usage of artificial contraception, the Catholic Church would not see as remaining open to life. But with NFP, we do. That's, you're still open to life, even if you're using NFP to avoid a pregnancy?
Yes. So what you're doing is you're saying scientifically, the chances of conception are really low here, but we're still opening up that decision to God. We're never saying that we're blocking him. So contraception blocks that relationship with God. If you think about a barrier method, that's exactly what it's doing. It's blocking you off from your partner, and it's blocking off that relationship with the Lord.
Right. Now, I've shared this with other guests we've had on the program talking about natural family planning, but of course, the typical joke that I've heard is, what do you call a woman who's using natural family planning? And the punchline is pregnant. So tell us about, I know that's a myth because I've talked to others, but tell us about the effectiveness of NFP in avoiding pregnancy.
So I mentioned that there are lots of different methods to choose from, and it's kind of pick your own path, really. So pick whichever method you like and that works for you. But I can only speak to Creighton. So Creighton has done their own effectiveness studies. On paper, if you were to follow the system to a T, you're looking at 99.5% effective rate. But when they actually took couples and they put them into use, they found that the system was 96.8% effective. So that's still pretty high.
Yeah.
When you compare that to some artificial contraceptives or methods that the church wouldn't agree with, you're looking at, it's still more effective than some of those things. So for example, the shot is 94% effective. The pill is 91% effective. Condoms are only like 82% effective. And those numbers are the same here in the US as they are in the UK. So it's pretty standard.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that's encouraging. And I know that it takes some discipline, though, of course, doing that and to see to that. Can you walk us through that a little bit? I mean, what exactly involved, you said that the Creighton Method you're most familiar with. So what would it be involved in the Creighton Method? What's the responsibility on the woman or on the couple as they're going through this?
Yeah. So I will start by saying we never want you to feel like you have to do this alone. There are blogs and all kinds of things that you can read. You can buy books and things, but really one of the beautiful things about choosing a method and having a practitioner is that you have someone who's going to walk that path with you. In the Creighton model, the first step is to take an introductory session. That's usually in a group setting. You're just the tip of the iceberg here. You're getting the broad overview of what NFP can do and how Creighton can be applied to different life situations. Mm. And then after that, if you decide you want to move forward, you'll pick a practitioner. Right now, we have 7 in our center who can work with you.
Okay.
And in the beginning, we meet pretty close together. So we're meeting every 2 weeks, and those appointments are individual. So it's with the woman or with the couple, and we're tailoring things to what is her body saying, what are her needs, what are the couple's needs. And then as the woman gets more comfortable, as the couple gets more comfortable, we start to space those appointments out. So we know, okay, you have some confidence here. Go use it, practice it on your own for a while, and then we'll meet again in a month or 3 months to kind of check in.
Yeah. Okay, good. And just to come back to one of the points that you made earlier, that not just couples, not just married couples need to know about this. So you're actually encouraging even young women who are unmarried and chaste and but just want to know more. Why would you encourage them specifically to maybe consider starting to learn the natural family planning?
Yeah. So in the U.S., the majority of women who take hormonal contraception or they're on the pill,
yeah,
I think it's upwards of 60%. So the women that are doing that, 60% of them are doing it for health reasons. Do you have painful periods? Do you have irregular cycles? Do you have really heavy bleeding? Do you have all kinds of cramps? Do you have acne? These are all reasons that a young woman might be put on the pill.
Yep.
And that's unnecessary. Working to understand what's going on in your cycle, we can uncover, is there a hormonal imbalance there? And then let's get you the correct healthcare that you need that's going to fix the problem. You don't need to put a pill on it because that's just going to cover something up rather than getting you the answers. And then it's going to, like I said, it's going to lower your risk of cancer and other things down the road. Young women who take the pill are even more susceptible to mental health issues than older women who take the pill. So these younger women, let's get them the help and the relief that they need. And so one of the things that we're actually working towards is rolling out a program for those younger women who've had at least one period. So maybe they're, 12 years old or whatever, up until about ages 15 or 16. Parents are welcome to attend this format. We want these girls to really start to understand things at a younger age.
Wow. Our guest is Isla Schwantos, who works with the Twin Cities Fertility Care Center as a practitioner there, a fertility care practitioner. And we're talking about NFP here on the heels of NFP Awareness Week and all the benefits therein. One of the things, Alice, that I'm continually kind of astounded by, and I know this is brought out by other Catholic speakers and presenters and that sort of thing, is that it seems like our society is rather obsessed with doing all these things organically. And yet when it comes to their sexuality, they seem to not even think about it, I'll take these pills. And with all the detrimental effects that you were just outlining about taking these things, they don't seem concerned about doing their sexuality in an organic sort of sense. Any thoughts on that? Any particular, is this another good way to encourage young women to learn about natural family planning and start practicing it in their own life, even if they aren't yet married?
It is. I think we're seeing that organic movement happening even more and more in the secular world. Mm-hmm. At Twin Cities Fertility Care, we don't discriminate. So we're willing to take on anyone who's a client. And we do see non-Catholic and non-Christian clients come through. But I've seen that. Yeah, we want to eat the healthiest meat and dairy and other products. We don't want pesticides on our food. We want filtered water. So let's give our bodies what they need in terms of our sexuality too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just a reflection here from the salad bar of my mind, I guess. But just one of the things I found kind of fascinating as well. Yet another reason to really encourage, and maybe another way to encourage someone else to at least investigate NFP. Any particular projects, turning our attention now to Twin Cities Fertility Care Center, any particular projects on the horizon for Twin Cities Fertility Care?
Yeah, so I mentioned that young women's program that we're working on right now. We are also revamping our website. So if you go to Twin Cities Fertility Care or tcnfp.org, right now it's kind of clunky. It eventually, in the near future, will be very beautiful. We're really excited for that rollout of the new website. We're also going to be doing some targeted fundraising. As a nonprofit, we're looking to do a really exciting fundraiser at the end of this summer with a local coffee company. So we appreciate donations coming through, but if you would like to purchase a product, this is a really good company that has agreed to partner with us for a coffee fundraiser.
Okay. Wow. So there are ways of listeners getting involved, of course, and referrals, donations, that sort of thing. And all that can be found at your website, tcnfp.org. Yeah.
Yes. And on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, one final question for you, Alice, before we let you go. Say there's a young woman listening, or maybe it's the interview is passed on to from a mother or grandmother to a young woman who is, you know, interested in maybe learning more, but they're nervous about it. It seems like there's too much to take in. Maybe they're nervous about what they might have to do, whatever that involves in terms of getting all the specifics down and charting cycles, whatever it would be. What would you say to them to encourage them and help them to understand that, you know, this is a good thing to do?
If someone is nervous, I guess I would ask the question, what do you have to lose by learning about your body and the way that it was made? That's the basis of this. You can take that information and do with it what you will, but we teach you how to learn about and appreciate your body and your fertility. I love, you know, reflecting on the Bible here. So in Genesis, the woman was the last thing that God created, and he saved the best for last. So many women are, you know, they're nervous about getting off the pill because they have those symptoms. What if those symptoms come back? But really, you're not getting to the answer here. So if you're worried about achieving pregnancy that you're not ready for, if you're worried about having those symptoms come back after you ditch the pill or something, just know that we're here for you. We want to walk alongside you. And like I said, we have these fantastic medical providers who are ready and waiting to assist us in that process.
Sounds perfect. Thank you, Alice, so much for all the work that you do and for being with us here on Practicing Catholic. God bless you and all your continued work.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Visit Twin Cities Fertility Care Center online and find out more about NFP and their services at tcnfp.org. Don't go away just yet. Paul, Kayla, and I will be right back after this to highlight some local Catholic events that will fertilize your faith this summer. We'll be right back. Our spiritual director today is Father Matthew Spencer.
The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Giving us some great advice on how to discern God's will and then how to move forward and seek to do God's will in our life.
And I think this is important, Patrick. Sometimes we imagine that God is putting difficult decisions on us and then watching over us as if he's maniacally waiting for us to trip up and make some bad decision and go astray, and just he's trying to see whether it's going to work out for us or not. And that's not how he looks at us. He wants us to succeed, right? He wants us to persevere in his will. Even if we make a wrong decision, he will help us to get back on track. It's so important to act. And I think we, especially in our own times, have a problem with this, right? We have difficulties with analysis paralysis, where we look at something for so long, right? We're just paralyzed. We can't follow through with it.
Yeah, hang on. Let me overthink this.
It's The Inner Life with Patrick Conley, 11 a.m. Central Time on Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio counts on your support to keep making an impact in people's lives.
I really believe that as people are seeking a deeper relationship with Christ, as they really want to know Christ better and become more serious about their faith, I think that is going to naturally tend to lead them in the direction of the Catholic Church. I found that over and over and over again, because when people start looking for a deeper spirituality to get beyond the surfacey sort of Jesus loves me, we're buddies kind of stuff, Where does that take you? It takes you into a study of church history where you begin seeing a New Testament church that looks an awful lot like the Catholic Church. My great passion is keeping Catholics Catholic, because we see so many Catholics who leave the church without even understanding what it is they're leaving behind.
Consider giving a donation today by calling 877-291-0123 or by going online to relevantradio.com. Thank you for whatever you can do, and God bless.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. You know where to go, right? I mean, I say this every week, so hopefully if you're a regular listener to the show.
Patrick.
It is. I know. I don't mean to be harping on this, but practicingcatholicshow.com. You know what you'll find there? You'll find the archive shows. You'll find links to our social media. And you'll also find links to all these great podcasting platforms that carry our podcasted interviews that are available Monday after the show airs. So if you have a particularly favorite interview, then why not like it, share it, and follow it there on whatever your favorite podcasting platform is. And we would appreciate it. Helps other people discover Practicing Catholic. And we're grateful that you're a listener as well. Have you heard of Blessed Solanus Casey? You guys have, right?
No.
I have not, actually.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, he's kind of a locally based saint here. Well, he's not a saint yet. He's blessed. But there is a pilgrimage going on that's going to be actually kind of encouraging his canonization. So this is going to be July 29th, 7 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Why so long, you say? Well, hang on, I'm getting there. It's a walk, actually. It's a walking pilgrimage from St. Paul to Stillwater with Modern Catholic Pilgrim. It's an 18-mile walking pilgrimage. There is a 3-mile option available for you, Paul, for the intercession and canonization of Blessed Solanus Casey. You're welcome.
That's for Paul.
Yeah, that's right. It starts at the Blessed Solanus Casey Friary in St. Paul. It ends at St. Michael's Church in Stillwater, where Blessed Solanus himself was confirmed.
I knew right he there. Had some connection to Stillwater.
He does, yeah. Offered by Modern Catholic Pilgrim, as I said, and the Franciscan Brothers of Peace. Register and find more info online at archsbm.org/events.
There is help for struggling couples. Coming up August 4th through 6th at Best Western Hotel in Eagan. Thinking about separation or divorce, hurting, angry? Do you feel helpless? Well, Retrovi is a lifeline for troubled marriages. Couples learn the tools to rediscover each other and heal their marriage. 100% confidential. To find out more, visit helpourmarriage.org.
And then staying on the theme of couples for Christ Men's Conference is coming up August 12th through 13th at Transfiguration Catholic Church. Couples for Christ couples have committed themselves to the Lord and to one another so that they may grow in maturity as men and women of God and fulfill their primary vocation of raising families grounded in Christian values and the service and love of God. You can join CFC at the Men's National Conference, again, August 12th through 13th. Redefine your purpose and create a fulfilling life. Find more info and you can register online.
Registering online, that seems to be the thing to do these days, right? There's other things you can register online for too. That's church-related things is what I'm getting into. So how about Into the Deep Theology of the Body retreats? You can check those out. Those are going on. We got a seminary information night for Catholic junior and senior high school men and their parents who'd like to learn more about St. John Vianney College Seminary. Grief to Grace is continuing to run for the victim survivors of abuse or anybody who has suffered abuse. And confirmation classes for persons with disabilities. Want to check that out, too? It's all available at archsbm.org/events. Well, I think we should do another show next week.
I think
people
so.
In favor
yeah,
of that?
I'd be down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it looks like Kayla's already put in some work on this. So, Kayla, I'll honor your work by saying that Marcy Franzen and Julie Woodruff will share their experiences in Kitui. Oh, my gosh. That's going to be fantastic. Amy Cummins is going to be with us. She's going to recap Steubenville for us. And Brother Pascal Listy shares more about this Blessed Solanus Casey and the Franciscan Brothers of Peace. So we'll check in with them about that long, long 18-mile pilgrimage, or 3 miles for you, Paul, that's coming up that they're having there. We'll get some inside scoop on that pilgrimage and Kayla, you need to listen because you'll find out more about Blessed Solanus Casey. He's a good guy.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll be listening closely.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for joining us, folks. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and of course, practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.